So picture this. You have two digital marketing agency proposals sitting right on your desk.
A very familiar scenario for a lot of people.
Right. And they promise the exact same deliverables. They both have these super glossy covers. They both throw around the exact same impressive case studies.
Yeah, sure.
But then you look at the pricing page. One is asking for $3,000 a month, the other is asking for $9,000.
Which is just a massive gap.
It's a huge gap. So today, we're basically opening up the black box of agency pricing to show you exactly where that $6,000 difference is actually hiding.
Yeah, we really need to decrypt this. It's a deliberately opaque industry, frankly.
It really is. And the mission of this deep dive is to give you the tools to evaluate these proposals, and negotiate your next contract from a position of absolute power, not just guesswork.
Which is exactly what you need.
Definitely. And real quick, before we get into the actual mechanics of all this, I do need to mention that this deep dive was made possible thanks to information from Scopic Studios. They're a full-service digital marketing agency, and they actually handed us the internal playbook on how all of this works behind the scenes, which is just incredible.
It's totally invaluable. I mean, this is a playbook every business leader needs right now, especially when you look at the sheer volume of capital at stake.
Oh, for sure.
Like, if you look at the Gartner 2025 CMO Spend Survey, agencies are currently eating up roughly 21% of the average marketing budget.
21%. That's a massive chunk of change.
It is. But the more startling metric, honestly, is that 39% of chief marketing officers are actively looking to cut that share.
Wait, really? 39%?
Nearly 4 out of 10, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that points to a massive crisis of confidence. Like, if 4 out of 10 marketing executives want to claw money back from their external partners, they must be getting tired of writing these huge checks.
Tired of writing checks for, black box reporting, where the agency claims everything is going great, but top line revenue is just completely flat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically the defining friction point in the industry right now. We are firmly in an era of efficiency. Boards are demanding attributable revenue for every single dollar spent.
Right. They want to see the ROI.
Exactly. And to understand why that disconnect happens, why buyers feel shortchanged, we have to start by tearing down the headline number on the proposal.
That big bold number at the bottom of the PDF.
Yeah, that big, bold monthly fee is, well, it's essentially a mirage.
A mirage. Okay, so let's anchor ourselves in the data first. When we say headline fee, what kind of baseline numbers are we actually talking about here?
So for small to mid-market engagements, you'll typically see averages anywhere from $1,500 to like $10,000 a month.
Okay.
Startups trying to test a single channel, they might scrape by on 1 to 3,000. But at the other end, you have enterprise accounts.
Right, the big guys.
Yeah, companies with 250 or more employees, they are routinely exceeding $25,000 a month.
25 grand a month.
Minimum. And that scales because they require highly customized reporting infrastructure
Right.
and dedicated specialists rather than just relying on shared teams.
Okay, so let's do the math on like a mid-market company. Say you are generating 5 million in annual revenue.
Okay, yeah. So based on the Gartner data, a $5 million company typically allocates about 7.7% of their revenue to marketing overall.
Okay, let me think. So 7.7% of 5 million, that's $385,000.
Right. And if agencies take their average 21% slice of that pie, your actual agency budget is roughly $80,000 a year.
Which breaks down to what, about $6,700 a month?
Give or take, yeah. About 6,700 a month.
Okay, so you have your target budget of $6,700 a month. You go out to the market and you get two proposals right around that exact price point.
Yeah.
But you called that number a mirage earlier. And it really feels a lot like renting an apartment, you know? You can look
Yeah.
at two listings that are both $4,000 a month.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy. Yeah.
Right. On paper, they look completely identical. 4 grand is 4 grand.
Right. But one quote is for a luxury building. The landlord covers your heating, your internet, your water, and I don't know, they're a doorman.
Exactly. And the other quote is for a basement studio where you have to set up your own utilities, you fix your own plumbing, and you have to park on the street.
And pay for parking, probably.
Right. The price tag on the contract is totally identical. But the reality of what you're actually getting and the out-of-pocket costs you're going to incur later is vastly different.
It's completely different. Two proposals for $6,700 can represent completely different universes of service,
So true.
which leads directly into this core finding from the HubSpot 2026 State of Marketing Report. Measuring ROI is currently the number one challenge for marketers right now.
Number one challenge. I totally believe that.
Yeah. And the thing is, you cannot measure ROI if you don't understand the underlying mechanics of how your agency arrived at that headline number in the first place.
Then let's look under the hood. How do they actually calculate these fees?
Well, we can categorize almost every commercial agency arrangement into three main structures.
Okay, let's hit them.
The first is the monthly retainer. This is where you pay a fixed monthly fee in exchange for a specifically defined scope of work.
So like 4 blog posts, 1 technical site audit, and weekly reporting, for example.
Exactly. Very cut and dry.
That seems like the safest bet, honestly. I mean, it gives you predictable costs and it gives the agency predictable revenue.
Yeah, it's perfectly built for things like SEO or content marketing, things that require compounding momentum over a long period of time.
But there's a catch, I assume.
Always. It is predictable, provided nothing changes.
Yeah.
But the underlying mechanism that breaks the monthly retainer is scope creep.
Ah, scope creep. The silent killer.
Right. Say you ask the agency to just quickly throw together a landing page for an upcoming webinar. It wasn't in the original contract, but the agency says yes because, you know, they want to keep you happy.
Mm-hmm. Sure, they want to be good partners. But those hours, they have to come from somewhere, right?
They absolutely do. Suddenly, the agency's profit margin on your account just vanishes. And here's the secret. When an account becomes unprofitable, agencies don't just call you up and tell you.
What do they do?
They quietly shift your account to junior staff, people who cost them less per hour. And suddenly the quality of your deliverables just falls off a cliff.
Wow. Okay, so fixed fees are great until the scope fluctuates. But what happens when you introduce massive variables like paid media?
That's a whole different ballgame.
Right, because if you scale your ad budget from $10,000 to $100,000 overnight, a flat retainer would essentially bankrupt the agency's margin because of all the extra management they have to do.
Which is exactly why the industry relies on the second model for paid media. Percentage of ad spend.
Okay, how does that work?
Basically, the agency charges a percentage, typically 10 to 20% of your total advertising budget. So if you push $20,000 through Google Ads, and their fee is 15%, you pay Google the $20,000, and you pay the agency $3,000 to manage the campaigns.
Hold on. That sounds like a massive structural conflict of interest.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I mean, if you're paying an agency 15% of whatever you spend, aren't they financially motivated to just drain your bank account?
Yeah.
Like, they get a raise every single time you increase your budget, regardless of whether those ads actually convert into profitable sales.
You've hit on the fatal flaw of the model. It creates a completely perverse incentive. Any agency operating on this model must be held to strict return on ad spend targets.
Because otherwise they'll just spend your money to make themselves money.
Exactly. Your spending decisions have to be driven by unit economics, not by the agency just asking for a budget bump.
Makes total sense.
But there's a secondary flaw with this model. The buyers rarely spot until it's too late. It's called the minimum fee problem.
Okay, what happens with the minimum fee?
Well, do the math on a smaller account. Let's say your ad spend is $3,000 a month. 15% of that is $450.
Right.
Let me tell you, for $450 a month, you are not getting a senior media buyer actively optimizing your campaigns every day.
No way. For $450, you're getting like an automated PDF emailed to you by a software script once a month.
Precisely. The agency physically cannot afford to put human strategy behind your account at that price point.
So what's the threshold where they actually start caring?
The critical threshold here is roughly $8,000 to $12,000 in monthly ad spend. If you're spending less than that, the percentage model yields way too little revenue for the agency.
So what should a smaller business do then?
At that point, you're actually much better off negotiating a flat monthly retainer. That way, you guarantee the agency has the financial bandwidth to actually look at your account.
Okay, so retainers risk scope creep, and percentage models risk bloated budgets. There has to be a model that forces the agency to tie their success directly to your revenue.
There is. That is the third structure, the hybrid model.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, in this model, you pay a much lower base retainer to cover their fixed overhead, and the rest of their compensation is variable. It's tied to performance metrics.
Like what?
Like leads generated, revenue attributed, or even a percentage of the actual profit they drive.
I mean, that sounds like the Holy Grail. They have true skin in the game. If you win, they win.
It is highly effective. especially for e-commerce or direct response campaigns where attribution is mathematically clean.
Right. Like someone clicks a shopping ad, buys the shoes immediately, the agency gets their cut, boom.
Exactly. But the danger is that hybrid contracts require an exhausting amount of upfront legal and technical alignment.
Oh, because who decides what a lead actually is? Like, if someone clicks a Facebook ad on Monday, leaves the site, and then Googles your brand directly on Friday and buys, the agency is going to claim they drove that sale.
Oh, 100%. And your internal finance team will argue it was organic search.
So it just becomes a huge fight.
Right. If you do not define the attribution windows, the tracking software, and the exact qualification criteria for a lead before the work starts, a hybrid model turns into a vicious, ongoing accounting dispute over who gets credit for what.
Wow. So the pricing model really isn't just a billing mechanism. It's like the entire operating system of the relationship.
That's a great way to put it.
But let's say you negotiate the perfect model. You define your leads. You lock in the retainer. The budget is still not safe, is it? Because now we have to navigate what the source material calls the iceberg effect.
Ah, the iceberg effect. Yes. Mm. This dictates that the bulk of your actual costs are hiding just beneath the surface of the contract.
Like an iceberg, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even with a great headline number, your actual monthly cash burn will completely shock you if you don't account for the two biggest drivers of agency pricing.
Which are?
Channel mix and team seniority.
Okay, let's break down channel mix first. If you have $10,000, stretching it across five channels is going to yield a very different result than pouring it all into one.
Drastically different. Every single channel you add, whether it's paid search, email marketing, or, you know, short form video, it requires its own distinct strategy, its own execution layer, and a separate reporting work stream.
Right.
Three channels managed shallowly is just not the same investment as one channel managed with deep, rigorous strategy.
Yeah.
Agencies price based on the number of work streams.
Which brings us to who is actually doing the work in those work streams, which I love, the Tuesday afternoon test.
Oh, yes. Explain the Tuesday afternoon test for everyone.
Okay, so you walk into the initial pitch meeting, right? And the agency rolls out the red carpet. You have the brilliant CEO, the super charismatic VP of strategy, and they are just wowing you with incredible insights about your market.
You're selling the dream.
Totally. You feel great. You sign the contract. But the question is, who is actually logging into your ad account on a random Tuesday afternoon 3 months later?
Spoiler alert, it is very rarely the VP of strategy.
Right. Is it a senior strategist who manages four key accounts and knows your business inside and out? Or is it a junior coordinator, like 6 months out of college, juggling 18 different accounts and just trying to keep their head above water by copying and pasting templates?
That seniority gap is a massive driver of cost.
Yeah.
And it's so often hidden.
It makes total sense.
A boutique agency might charge less on paper, but they give you direct access to the actual practitioners. Whereas a massive global agency might charge a huge premium, but then route your account through three layers of account managers before you ever speak to the person pushing the buttons.
It's great.
But beyond the humans doing the work, we also have to look at the literal hidden fees, the extra 20 to 40% that never makes it into the headline number.
Wait, where is an extra 40% coming from? That's insane.
It comes from four main areas. First up, platform and media fees.
Okay.
The money you spend on the ads themselves is billed directly by Meta or Google. It is never included in the management fee.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, third-party tool subscriptions.
Wait, really? Like, if you hire a plumber, you don't pay a separate rental fee for their wrench. Why are agencies passing software costs onto the client?
Because enterprise-tier SEO platforms, data warehouses, reporting dashboards, tools like Semrush, Ahrefs, or Supermetrics, they cost thousands of dollars a month.
So they just pass the buck to you.
Yep. Many agencies will quietly bundle a $100 to $500 software licensing fee into your monthly invoice.
Unbelievable. Okay, what's the third hidden fee?
Third, you have onboarding and setup fees.
Ah, right, the technical debt audit. Basically cleaning up whatever the last agency broke before they can actually start running new campaigns.
Exactly. And those one-time fees commonly range from $500 to $3,000.
Ouch.
And finally, creative production. A media buyer analyzing spreadsheets is a completely different skill set from a video editor cutting TikToks.
That's true.
If your campaigns require fresh creative every 2 weeks, that production cost is almost always quoted entirely separately from the management retainer.
So the real lesson here is that you can never just ask for a proposal. You must demand a total cost of engagement estimate.
Yes, total cost of engagement.
You need the management fee, the anticipated media spend, the software licenses, the onboarding fees, and the creative production costs all rolled into one master number.
Right, because if you're comparing proposals based on just the management fee, you're flying completely blind.
You're asking for radical transparency, really. Which brings us to the actual evaluation playbook. The source material outlines this really rigorous checklist you need to run through when you're cross-examining an agency before you sign anything.
It's a lifesaver, honestly.
Let's run through it. If you are sitting across from an agency right now, what are the six questions you absolutely must ask?
Okay, question one. What exactly does full service include and exclude?
Because full service is a meaningless buzzword.
It means nothing.
Right. One agency's full service includes building your landing pages and editing your videos. Another agency's full service just means they click the buttons in Google Ads and literally everything else triggers a separate invoice.
Exactly. You need a strict, written inclusion and exclusion list.
Got it.
Question two. Who is the specific human being managing my account daily, and how many other accounts do they manage?
Ah, solving the Tuesday afternoon test.
Exactly. Get it in writing. Question three. What is our shared source of truth for reporting?
Which means what, exactly?
Are we measuring success based on vanity metrics like clicks and impressions? Or are we integrating with a CRM to track actual closed revenue?
Which eliminates the attribution fights later. I love that. What's question four?
Question four. What third-party tools, software, or media costs are excluded from this retainer?
The wrench fee.
The wrench fee, yes. Get ahead of it. Then question five explores the exit terms and out clauses.
Let's pause on the exit terms, actually, because nobody wants to be locked into a 12-month contract if the agency's underperforming by month two, right?
Obviously.
But if you demand a month-to-month contract, don't agencies just jack up the price?
They do, because they price risk into their models. A client who can cancel with 30 days notice is a huge revenue risk.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it way harder for the agency to confidently staff your account.
So what's the workaround?
The standard smart compromise is the 3-month pilot program.
Okay, a pilot.
Yeah. You define a specific scope and a fixed rate for 90 days. It gives the agency a fair window to show real traction, and it gives you a natural evaluation point.
And if it works?
If it works, you roll into an annual agreement. If it doesn't, standard 30 to 90-day exit terms apply.
That's brilliant. That leaves question six. And honestly, from the source material, this seems like the most dangerous trap in the entire industry.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Question six. Who owns the ad accounts, the analytics, and the tracking pixels? Every single digital asset your budget funds must be administratively owned by your business in writing from day one.
We really have to dig into the mechanism of why this matters so much. If you hire an agency and they build your campaigns inside their own proprietary Google Ads account, or they install their own Metapixel on your website, they basically hold all the leverage.
They hold all of it. It creates a catastrophic hidden switching cost. Think about how algorithmic advertising actually works today.
Okay.
When a Metapixel sits on your website for 2 years, it is gathering millions of data points. The algorithm is learning the exact behavioral patterns of your most profitable customers. The industry term is that the pixel is seasoning.
Seasoning. Okay, so if you fire that agency because they get complacent and they own that pixel, they just take it with them.
They turn it off. It's theirs.
You aren't just losing a vendor. You are losing 2 years of machine learning business intelligence.
Yep.
You have to start a brand new ad account from absolute zero with a totally unseasoned pixel and watch your acquisition costs just triple overnight while the new algorithm tries to relearn everything.
It's devastating. And agencies know this. Building data architectures in their own accounts forces you to stay with them even when the relationship turns toxic.
Just because it hurts too much to leave?
Exactly.
Huh.
Simply because the cost of losing the historical data will temporarily destroy your revenue. You must demand absolute administrative ownership of all digital assets with the agency only granted manager-level access.
Let's bring this all together. You're looking at those two proposals, the $3,000 quote and the $9,000 quote. Evaluating an agency by comparing those bottom line prices is just a complete trap.
It's a fool's errand.
The buyers who actually extract massive ROI from their agency partners, they treat the pricing model as a strategic tool. They demand total cost of engagement estimates. They vet the daily account managers. They lock down attribution rules before spending a single dime. And they never, ever surrender ownership of their data.
Which leaves you with one final, highly provocative thought to consider on your own. It builds on that exact concept of data ownership, but zooming out to the macroeconomic level of your business strategy.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Consider the long-term impact on your company's actual valuation.
The valuation of the business itself.
Yes. When you prepare to sell your business, or you're seeking a new round of investment, acquirers heavily scrutinize your customer acquisition engine.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that.
If your entire marketing infrastructure is locked inside a proprietary agency black box where you don't own the historical data, you don't control the platform setups, and your internal team doesn't even understand the attribution models, are you actually building intrinsic equity in your own brand?
Or are you just indefinitely renting your growth from your agency?
Exactly.
Wow. Are you building equity or are you just renting growth? If the agency controls the machine, they essentially own a piece of your valuation.
They do.
That changes the entire perspective. You aren't just negotiating a monthly vendor expense. You are literally defending the infrastructure of your company's future value.
Perfectly said.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the mechanics of digital marketing pricing. Keep asking the hard questions, stay curious, and the next time you see a massive price gap sitting on your desk, you will know exactly where to look to find the truth.